our best highlights.
Come on.
Out of bounds.
On the field. Footballing pioneers.
In the history of the game.
As long as there's been footy, there have been superstars for us to idolise.
Welcome to a belated kick to kick is backwards and coming forwards. Charlie, we are here the night before round seven starts to talk round six.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? We've only had it. We're off by one night and it feels like we're almost a full week behind. It's craziness.
Yeah, so hopefully people are listening to us on the way to the football tomorrow.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah.
I know I will be.
Okay, good. I'll be there too.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, quick trivia question for you before we get stuck into last week's games.
Come, bring it on.
Which team has traded away the most Brownlow medalists?
Oh,
something to ponder while we chat.
Okay. All right, that's a very interesting one.
Mm.
Okay, I'll keep on thinking about that one. Well, let's talk round six, shall we, Timmy? Now, I've got to be honest. With a newborn and also especially with the D's having a bye, I didn't watch as much footy as I usually do.
Of course
around six.
Even though your fantasy team smashed mine.
I know. I was very happy about that. It was all down to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you watched that game and you could relax for the rest of the weekend.
Exactly.
Because boy, did they dominate.
Oh, completely. And well, let's get started with that one, shall we? So Thursday night, 60-point win by the Doggies.
Yep. Taking home the Barker Witten Challenge plate. Don't know if they still play for that, actually, but they did once upon a time. Now, this game had four players named Riley in it. Three of those Rileys are spelt differently.
Oh, really?
We had Riley Bonner and Riley Garcia, R-I-L-E-Y.
Yes, the traditional Riley.
Traditional Riley. Then Riley Sanders, R-Y-L-E-Y.
And then
Riley West,
R-H-Y-L-E-E.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. And it was also the Saints' 800th game conceding 100 points or more.
In their history. Wow.
Second only to North Melbourne, who have done it 806 times.
I'm actually surprised that that hasn't happened more because, I mean, conceding 100 points, I mean, in the 90s, you could concede 100 points and still win by 70.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that hasn't happened more.
And I wonder how many of those games they've won, especially with Lockett playing in the 80s
and 90s. Yeah, exactly. So that's an interesting one. So North Melbourne, the only team to concede. No.
They've done it 806 times, so only six more times than the Saints.
In less time. 25 less years, yeah.
So that means North's worse?
Yeah. Yep. Consistently.
Yes.
So there you go. Much else from that game, Timmy?
No, that's it. Saints coming on like three games in 11 days. I'm not surprised they lost. Maybe losing Ross Lyon teams don't usually lose by that much, but it wasn't a surprise really in the end.
No, just a boil over. But it takes the pressure off the Doggies a little bit, especially with those guys, you know, who his plan of, you know, resting or putting the pressure on some of the older guys to perform was getting a lot of attention in the media, and it seems to have worked. Like they came out, I mean, Bailey Dale came out and absolutely smashed it. So no, it was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Let's talk Friday night then. You're a big family clash in your household, Tim.
It was, yes. Half of us are Adelaide Crow supporters here.
how did that final result go over?
It was what it was. It was an exciting ending.
Three-point win to the Dons.
It was. We should have won by 8 goals, to be honest. We kicked atrociously.
Yeah.
And apart from the controversy at the end, we deserved to win that game.
Yeah, what are we talking? Eight more scoring shots, as you said. Like, yeah, 10-18, not ideal.
No.
But no. You're in the eight.
We are in the eight, yeah. We were in the same spot last year, 4-2.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, last year it felt like there was probably a little bit more like pressure on at this stage, though, wasn't there? So
no, because no one expected it last year. So,
but everyone thought the momentum, like it was like, oh, the momentum's building. Whereas it's probably a bit, the lid's definitely still on in the Bombers camp this year, isn't it?
It is definitely. Yeah, but let's get to that game. So Ben Keys kicked the Crows' first goal, which he's done 7 times in the last 14 times.
Wow.
Yeah. Essendon took only 70 marks for the game. The last time the Dons won a game with fewer marks was 2018, if you excuse 2020. So, yeah, interesting little stat there I read on one of the Essendon's websites.
Just moving the ball forward.
Yeah, but not necessarily taking marks. So that's quite a low number of marks.
Yeah, it certainly is.
We are now 7-0 against the Crows for our last 7 games, but we are the opposite. It's 0-8 against Port. So we can always beat the Crows. We can't beat Port.
Really? That's very interesting.
And the other stat that's been floating around, you might have seen Ben McKay has won 4 of his first 6 games. 4 wins is the most he ever achieved at North Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's got in a season.
Okay, and he's got that in his first 6 games at the Dons.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I feel like we're piling on North Melbourne already. It feels early, especially knowing what's to come.
Yeah, I've got more to chat about them later as well.
Anything else interesting from that one, Timmy?
You know, all the chatter about the umpire, like Lee Matthews' take on it, that it was, you know, it was in the back from Tex.
Yeah.
But it swings and roundabouts. Remember when, was it Dane Rampey climbed the pole against Essendon, but the AFL didn't punish him for that, even though it's an illegal act?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. There's got to be, I mean, you can't get everything right, can you, either? Like, it's...
No,
you know,
it just feels like Adelaide keep getting screwed over.
I know.
And we had them in our top 4, Charlie.
And we did.
Yeah.
Oh, you never know. It's still early in the season. Things could turn. They're probably not going to, but they could happen. Well, let's talk about Saturday's game. So Collingwood versus Port Adelaide at the G. Let's start with that one. Have Collingwood woken up?
Yeah, well, not until quarter time, but they did. Just before we get into that, Chelsea Roffey umpired this game. It was her 300th game in charge as a goal umpire. Only the 8th goal umpire to achieve at least 300 games, and obviously the first woman to do that.
Really? Yeah. I'm surprised by that because we've seen a few. Well, last year we saw a few big 400, 500 game milestones by field umpires.
Yeah.
You would have actually thought the goal umpires would be doing a lot more games.
Yeah, less impact.
Yeah.
Just a lot of standing.
Do it well into your 60s.
Yeah. So that first quarter of that game, there was 9 different goal quarters across the first quarter. This happened in round 4, the Dogs-Cats game. I think the record is 10 different goal kickers for a quarter, which happened in round 24 last year. The Suns and the Kangaroos. We also have Steel Sidebottom playing his 200th game at the MCG, and he moves outright second on the all-time games list for Collingwood now.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, never going to catch first, is he?
No, probably not. No. Unless something very terrible happens to Pendlebury.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even if it did, I don't think he could quite get there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They ended up winning very comfortably, didn't they? The Pies. And then let's move on to the next game. We've got Carlton GWS, and Carlton really turned it on.
They did. Well, it was very similar, actually. They were trailing for quite a lot of the game, the Giants, and then I looked back, and they'd gone from 20 points down to 20 points up.
Yeah.
Just slammed on goals. Paddy Cripps.
They do seem to do that, though, don't they? They can, if they get the momentum going right, they can really make you pay quickly.
If you've got 2 common medalists in your forward line, it's easy to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Paddy Cripps, his 116th game as captain of Carlton, equaling Craig Bradley's record there. So he's only got John Nicholls and Stephen Kernahan to chase down now, though he is 110 games off Stephen Kernahan's record of 226.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, not going to get there, I don't think. Yeah. A couple of my mates still have a bet on. They say, I think it was probably like 5 years ago, saying that Paddy Cripps was going to be a premiership captain, and they bet like 20 slabs on it, I think. So I think he'd be feeling like he's got a reasonably good chance at it.
Yeah.
Still.
The Giants lost their first ever quarter, or not lost their first quarter, but they had led for every quarter up until quarter time against the Blues in this game. So they trailed the Blues by a goal. First time since 2014 that the side sitting on top of the ladder has lost in round six. It's a weird, awkward stat there.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah.
Curnow's up to 54 straight games kicking a goal.
You can't see that one changing. You can't see him not kicking one, can you?
No, definitely not. Callum Ward and Toby Green have now played in 100 losses as teammates.
Yeah.
Which now leaves Hawthorn as the only current club that has never had two teammates play in 100 losses together.
Really?
Yeah, Mitchell and Hodge got to 97.
Well, yeah, they played for a long time together, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, okay. They just haven't had consistency through the playing when they've been crap.
No, Hawthorn, they've been pretty successful. They've been successful, you know, for a lot of the last 40 years. So they
in that first bit of time, obviously no one hung around for long enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've seen the news, but Toby Green has been suspended and upheld for a week.
I did not see the result of that. Okay, so he has been. It's controversial.
I don't know how they expect him to turn in midair from trying to mark it to protect himself. It's a bit ridiculous, but anyway, it's the world we're living in. And Jesse Hogan got off.
Yeah, again, like, I'm kind of glad. Like that one didn't seem like it was intentional to go for his face. That one,
yeah.
I just feel like it's the Toby Green tax, isn't it? He just never gets the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, he hasn't been suspended since that final where he touched the umpire. That's the last time he was.
Yeah, suspended. Yeah, where he ran through him. When was that? That was a few 2020? Years ago now, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So 2021.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's just, yeah, like how this is, and I reckon we've got a serious problem. And I've heard a few people in the commentary box say the same thing. Super slow mo makes everything look bad, and it makes it look like they've got time to make the decision they're making, and they just don't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. Good point. Let's move on to Saturday night's dreadful game at the Gabba.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This was one game I was very glad I missed. Did you watch much of this one?
I tried to. I ended up putting on a TV show. It was too hard to watch.
How miserable! And you know what? Like, I really thought. I mean, we were terrible last week against the Lions, but the way they played, I expected this to be a really good game.
Yeah, there's a few little things they did wrong, and they had a few misses when they really shouldn't have missed, but yeah, they fell apart. Geelong now undefeated, 6-0 for the first time since 2013.
It's amazing for a club they are the oldest club, aren't they still?
No, Melbourne's the oldest.
As in list-wise, I mean, sorry. Oh, age, yes. Average age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They just don't seem – the other foot's not dropping, is it? They've got it's like a picture of Dorian Gray. There must be a team photo up in an attic somewhere of everyone just falling apart at the seams.
I don't know how they do it. I'm kind of glad I've got Chris Scott's brother coaching my club, because maybe we can start doing that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We did
You'd
have
be very
a...
happy as a cat supporter, wouldn't you? Because things are, they just look, they're continuing to look good. Everyone's playing well, doing the job they need to do. You know, winning ugly is a thing that good sides do.
If you were going to tell, like, if someone was moving to Australia and you were going to say, you know, what's a good team to support with continued sustained success, you'd tell them Geelong.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Like, it's you're gonna enjoy enjoy watching footy.
Yeah. We also had Tom Hawkins giving away a 100-metre penalty in that game. Not sure if you saw that.
I didn't.
No. The Lions' lowest score at the Gabba since, I think, 2018. And now we've talked about this a few times, Charlie. That was Chris Scott and Tom Hawkins playing win number 200.
Yep.
20 games away from Jock McHale and Gordon Coventry.
20 wins away?
Yeah.
Or 20 games?
Yeah. 20 wins, sorry. Yeah. Chris Scott and Mitch Duncan are only 7 back behind that as well.
Really? Gosh. Yeah.
This was the lowest aggregate score at the Gabba since 1996. So 100 points, equal lowest since 96.
Oh, my God. Miserable.
The 62nd game that Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron have played together, first time they've both been goalless.
Yeah. I mean, that's not surprising. How could they? Yeah. It's a very, very good, yeah.
Last thing I wanted to talk about was the lizard. Did you see there's a lizard at the Gabba?
I didn't.
There was a lizard up in one of the decks, like a water dragon.
Oh, really? Like a big one?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Most exciting thing that happened in that game.
Yeah. I was going to go into a bit of a deep dive about different animals at the football, but I might just skip over this very quickly. There were rabbits at a game in 1941 that got captured and given to some kids over the fence. 1923, there was a dog, small dog at a match between Richmond and Collingwood.
I remember that story.
Yeah, one of the players kicked the dogs and he got charged with ill treatment to an animal, with animal cruelty, and got fined £2 and 12 shillings. 1928, there was a dull match between Hawthorne and Fitzroy, and suddenly during the first quarter, the game stopped briefly as a Kookaburra's call rang out across the grounds. We had a red-bellied black snake at an AFLW game last year in Blacktown.
Yeah,
there's a black cat running across Adelaide Oval in 2014 for a game between the Crows and the Tigers. Obviously, we had an elephant as entertainment at Arden Street in the 70s or something it was.
Yep, yep.
There's a classic story of Jeff Bletham having kicked his 100th goal in 1972 and then the horse coming out to protect him and him getting slobber all over the glasses he used to wear on the field. And probably the most classic one is the pig at the SCG with
plug. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. Well, okay. We're doing all right in terms of the animals we've had on field.
Yeah.
So let's talk our next game with West Coast and Freo, and West Coast winning by 37 points.
What a turner for the books as well. Elliot Yeo taking out his second Glendinning Allen medal. And they're back-to-back wins for the first time in almost 3 seasons.
Hey, are things turning around?
They are slowly. I mean, the Harley Reid factor's got to count for something, but also a little like the fact that they have a lot of experienced players who are premiership players as well has got to count for something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who are just finally sort of get, like they're finally pulling it back together.
Yeah. They? First time since 2018 they've had back-to-back games kicking over 100 points as well.
Yeah, wow.
And Jake Waterman, back-to-back games with 5 or more goals. He's joining some other players who have done that, such as Chris Lewis, Ross Glendinning, Peter Sumich, Scotty Cummings, Fraser Gehrig, Philip Matera. So pretty good company.
Yeah, very good company.
Next game was Sydney Gold Coast on the Sunday at the SCG. Yeah. Only two things I've got for this game. The Suns played Jed Walter, Ethan Reed, Jake Rogers, and Will Graham, who were all their 4 picks from last year's draft. The last team to do this, actually, this is the earliest a team's ever done this in a season, playing all draft picks from the previous draft. The Hawks did it in 2022, but much later in the season, and the Dockers did it in 2017.
It's a sign. It's interesting because it's usually a sign of a club who's just admitting that they need to blood some young talent, right? Whereas are the Gold Coast really in that position? You would have hoped not.
No, but I think they're trying to bring in these kids who are from their academy and they're supposed to be absolute gun players.
Yeah, yeah. What can you do? The Suns are an interesting one. I reckon they're ones that are going to keep on doing that and hope. Like I think at the end of the year will be, they'll be sort of sitting there going, if we win our last two, we can still make the eight sort of club.
Yeah, maybe. And then we'll be bemoaning how good they are in a few seasons, I think.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. And then the final game of the weekend was North Melbourne Hawthorn. One of these teams finally getting off zero, and it was the Hawks.
Yeah, 25th time there's been a game between round 17th and 18th on the ladder. Coming into the game, it was 12 wins to 17th, 12 wins to 18th.
Hey, okay.
Yeah. Nick Larkey's kicked the goal for the Roos in each of the last 25 games. Other players to do this are Jock Spencer, John Dugdale, Malcolm Blight, John Longmire, Wayne Carey, and Drew Petrie. So pretty good company.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Charlie, last year we were comparing West Coast to Fitzroy, but I feel like we should be comparing North Melbourne to Fitzroy because they look like a basket case.
Mm-hmm.
They've won one of their last 27 matches. That win cost them Harley Reid. Of their past 100 games, they've won 82, drawn one. Sorry, they've lost 82 games and drawn one.
So they've won 17 out of their last 100 games.
Yeah. If they lose 12 more games, they'll be 10 wins, 90 losses, which would make them officially the worst team in the last 125 years.
Really?
So excluding St Kilda's terrible 1897 start, that would make them the worst.
Say that again, equaling St Kilda's.
No, so if we start that timeline at 1900, so we're excluding St Kilda's terrible 3-4 years in the VFL in the 1800s.
Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's worse than university. Oh, well, university didn't get there, did they?
No, not quite. Yeah, make them much worse. Like I think North Melbourne are statistically the worst from their 1920s, 1930s.
Really?
They'd be taking the record from themselves.
Oh God. It's hard. It must be very hard to be a North Melbourne supporter at times.
Yeah.
Because there would have been so much positivity when they signed Clarko as coach. And it just, and then obviously everything went down. Look, I think it's really hard because I would have said even a couple of weeks ago that I'd actually rather be a North Melbourne supporter than a Hawthorn supporter at the moment. Judging by what we've seen from Hawthorn the last few weeks, but I don't know whether that rings true anymore.
No, and Hawthorn's a little bit like West Coast in they've got a few players there with premiership experience and some old heads, where North Melbourne have real no veterans.
No, they really don't, do they? Yeah, it's an interesting one. When was the last time? I can't think of a time where there's been three clubs in this position at the same time, you know? Like if you think in the same season, three clubs who just can't seem to steal wins apart from each other.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time before this when that was happening.
Who else was terrible when Melbourne were terrible, or was it just Melbourne?
Well, that's what I'm trying to remember.
GWS and Gold Coast?
yeah, but I don't think they were as bad as we were. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the end of our weekend. So obviously, Melbourne and Richmond had the bye. So that brings us all back up to level. As we said, we finally got a ladder that looks normal. Let me run through that for us. So we've got obviously the Cats sitting on top, having not lost a game.
Yep.
Sydney second, GWS third, and Carlton fourth. Then rounding out the eight, we've got Port Adelaide, Melbourne, Essendon, and the Doggies.
Yep.
And then Frio 9th, Collingwood 10th, Gold Coast 11th, Brizzy 12th, St Kilda 13th, West Coast 14th, Adelaide 15th, Richmond 16th, Hawthorn 17th, and North Melbourne 18th. Who would have thought we'd have West Coast sitting 14th at this stage?
Slightly higher, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. So now we're back to normal for at least a little while until we get our next. When's the next buy round?
Probably 4 or 5 rounds away.
Yeah,
after Sir Doug Nicholls rounds, I think.
That's right. So should we have a little bit of a preview before before this weekend? Because this weekend starts tomorrow night.
It does.
With the Anzac Eve game between Melbourne and Richmond.
It does, and my favorite stat about this match is that these two teams played in round one, 1915, which was on April 24th, the day before the official Anzac Day.
I love that. I think that's really, that's a cool thing that they're continuing. And I really, I've gone to the, I don't think I've missed one of these actually since it started, and I really love it. It's a great commemoration. Yeah. And different to Anzac Day, which is what I think is really good about it.
Yeah. I like the jumpers as well. So Richmond's got the wattle down the stash.
Yes.
And Melbourne's this year, they've got an outline, like a stencil of the Shrine of Remembrance.
Yeah. Nice. Which is a bit different. I like that. It's not soldier based. It's cool. I like that a lot.
You remember the best on ground is given the Checker Hughes medal.
Yeah.
They premiership cap coach at both clubs.
Left on a high both times.
Yeah. Was it three times? Four times?
Three times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He got out. Yeah. Brilliant. So that's starting us off. Look, you'd think Melbourne should have that one. And then obviously leading into Thursday, we've got our traditional Anzac Day, Essendon versus Collingwood.
Yeah,
this one. I feel like the last few years, this hasn't been an amazing match, but I feel like this year it could be a goodie.
Last year we led by 34 points at three quarter time, and the Pies came back and won. So, I mean, if you're a Collingwood supporter, you'd call that exciting.
Yeah.
No, it's just one of those ones. Collingwood always seem to get up over us. We come in thinking we're better than we are, and then they kind of blow us away. So
hopefully that does not happen for you this time.
Hopefully not, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Pendlebury gets another Anzac Day medal and Collingwood, you know, beat us by 7 goals or so. It would not surprise me. It does surprise me.
They are definitely going in favourites. So
yeah, as they should be. They're running favourites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they generally always beat us. We cannot consistently beat Collingwood. Until we can, we won't be a decent team.
Yeah.
It does surprise me though, they have not named the Anzac Day medal they hand out on this day.
I know. Or maybe they're just like, that's a better name than anything we can come up with.
I still think they should name it after the winner of the Changi medal, the Changi Brownlow.
Yeah. Who was it? Peter.
I just had it. His brother bashed up some people in the bloodbath grand final.
Yeah, his brother played for Carlton.
Peter Chitty.
Peter Chitty, yeah. Bob Chitty. Bob Chitty's brother. I like that. I think, would people get it though? Is that a story that we need to get out, that needs to get out there a bit more?
Oh, definitely is, yeah. Essendon's wearing their sashes kind of made of poppies this year. I don't actually like it this year. I don't know what it is, but I don't particularly like it this year.
That's quite a classic one from you. That's a similar vein to one you usually go down though, isn't it? With the poppies.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't like. I don't know. Maybe it's the overlapping yellow. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And Collingwood seem to have some outlines of different maps on their in the blackness of their jumper.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Then, for the rest of the weekend, starting. Oh no! Sorry. On Thursday night, we've got another game. We've got Giants versus Brizzy.
Yeah, both of these guys have Anzac jumpers as well. The Lions are wearing a white number with like a poppy in the middle with some leaves coming up. And the Giants have gone like a camo inside the G.
I know. I like it. I really like it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Am I being really ignorant? Is this the first time we've had two games on Anzac Day?
No, we often have a Fremantle game on Anzac Day in the night. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like GWS's jumper. I think it's really cool. Then on Friday, we've got Port Adelaide versus St Kilda.
Yep, the best on ground in this game gets the Peter Badko medal. He was a soldier from Adelaide who earned the Victoria Cross for bravery in Vietnam. I don't think either of these teams have Anzac-inspired jumpers, but Port Adelaide have released a hat. like a camo hat with a PA at the top.
Oh, okay.
Which is they.
What does Peter Badcombe have to do with the Saints?
Nothing. It's a Port Adelaide thing. He was from Adelaide, so whoever at Port Adelaide play on the Anzac round gets the best and fairest here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then on Saturday we have North Melbourne versus Adelaide.
Yep.
Down in Tassie.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how the Tassie locals react to this now that they're getting their own team. Will we see lots of more support, or will there be an interest there, or will there be people in Devils merchandise? I don't know.
I was about to say maybe we'll get a sea of green, yellow, and red in the stands.
Maybe. And the Crows have gone for an interesting Anzac jumper. They've gone for some chevrons instead of the traditional jumper, and they've got an outline of a bugler in the middle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The Saturday evening games will be a very interesting one. Cats versus Carlton.
Yeah, this will see where both teams are really at. Should be a cracker, actually.
Yeah, it should be fantastic. A couple of extremely strong forward lines. I reckon this will be a shootout.
Yeah, another one of these games with four common medalists playing.
Yeah. Wasn't the last time between these clubs as well?
Yeah, the last and only time. Four individual common medalists.
Yeah. Amazing.
Geelong have got a very subtle Anzac jumper with a soldier and a footballer like underneath the logo.
Nice.
Carlton don't seem to have an Anzac jumper at this stage.
Okay.
Nor do Fremantle and the Bulldogs.
No, yeah. So that's our Saturday night game over in Perth. And then on Sunday, we have West Coast versus Gold Coast.
The Battle of the Coast. I hear Harley Reid's being rested for this game.
Really?
Yeah. Just trying to take the load off the young body, I suppose.
Fair enough.
Gold Coast have got an Anzac jumper with some digits kind of sneaking up in the middle with some wattles on the side. West Coast don't tend to have one.
No.
So then MCG on, is that Sunday? Yes.
Yeah, MCG on Sunday, our final game of the round. We've got the Hawks versus Sydney, and you would think that Sydney would have this one sewn up.
Yeah, although they lost.
4 p.m. Sunday is the classic D's time slot from a few years ago.
The graveyard shift.
The graveyard shift. It's an ugly one, especially when the weather starts to turn.
Yeah, the Hawks have got a little outline of, I think it's Gallipoli on the bottom of their jumper. Sydney have nothing. I'm not sure. I know when Hawks play around this time in Tassie, they do play for the Alex Campbell Cup, but they probably aren't playing for this because it's not in Tasmania.
Yeah, okay.
So that brings me, Charlie, to our trivia question. Which team has traded away the most Brownlow medalists?
All right. So I'm going to go – my guess is Fitzroy.
Good guess. I believe it's Footscray.
Okay.
I traded away Adam Cooney, Brad Hardy, Kelvin Templeton, and Gary Dempsey.
Oh, wow.
So all while they were like, they had won it and then got traded away, as well as future winners in Bernie Quinlan, Barry Round, and Brian Wilson.
Oh, so yeah, they got rid of those guys before they won it. So seven Brownlow winners of, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I never would have guessed that. Yeah, I just thought, I don't know, I was going through my mind, I was like, is it St Kilda? But I don't feel like St Kilda have had enough Brownlow medalists.
Well, they've had quite a lot, but they've kept them mostly. Ian Stewart, they definitely traded away, but Robert Harvey, they kept. Verdon Howe, they kept. Tony Lockett, they traded. Neil Roberts, they kept. So there's quite a few they kept.
Yeah. Wow. You'd be hard, like you'd be kicking yourself. It's always, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. You'd be kicking yourself, wouldn't you, when they put the Brownlow around their neck.
The year Round and Quinlan won it as, you know, together, that must have been killing them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm loving these trivia questions. Jimmy, they're making me really think.
All right, I've got to get one for you next week as well.
Oh, can't wait. Well, we're as you said, hopefully people are listening to this on the way to the G or getting excited for this Anzac Eve game of footy, and it's an exciting time. We've You know, what are we? I can't believe we're already 7 weeks in.
I know.
Amazing. Well, until next week, hooroo.
Thanks for listening to the Kick to Kick podcast present Backward in Coming Forward. You can find all our old episodes wherever you get your good podcasts. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. On social media, we have Twitter @kicktokickpod or on Facebook, or you can find us on Instagram @backwardsandcomingforward. For a full list of our resources and what we use in this show, go to our website, which is kicktokick.podbean.com. Thanks very much for listening.